Greetings to you, my family in Christ, sisters and brothers, saints and sinners, children of God. I got my hair cut on Friday. Now, the barber shop I go to is in Timiskal district of Oakland. It's one of those up-and-coming hipster neighborhoods. And the barbershop caters to a younger crowd, the kind of people that work in the tech industry, that maybe they work at Pixar, which is not too far from there, or maybe they go into the city and work at one of the new startups, or I think some of them actually live in Silicon Valley, because I think the Google bus is coming into Oakland these days. And it doesn't look like the same kind of feel that the barbershop that my dad took me to in the 1970s to get my hair cut when I was a kid. And most of these barbers have their arms covered up and down in tattoos. And the clientele is almost entirely men between the ages of 20 and 50. There's a few women that come in, but they all get the men's style haircuts. And they don't do washing, and they don't do dyeing, and they don't color your hair, and they don't blow dry it or anything like that. It's just a haircut and a trim, maybe a shave for a little extra money. And they charge $25 for a haircut. And they don't take appointments. And despite all that, they're very popular. And there's a list of names that you can, that when you walk in, you write your name on the chalkboard, or the barber's assistant writes their name on the chalkboard. And as the barbers have finished up with one person, they'll cross the name off, and then they'll go on to the next person. But on Friday when I went in, it was a very long line indeed. There was 20 names up there on that chalkboard. And I have to figure out what to do in the meantime while I'm waiting to get my hair cut. Now, I've been in there before, and I've expected it to be a long line. I didn't expect it to be that long, but I brought my laptop with me, and I decided to do a little bit of work while I was in there. So I decided to hang out for the duration and just, you know, observe the people going in and out. And so what happens on days like this when the names get so long is that they'll tell people, look, it's going to be an hour before we can see you. Go ahead and go out and come back. And then it gets a little complicated, because when they start calling names, sometimes the people haven't come back. So they'll call the next name. So, but they don't cross out the names that didn't show up. They'll leave them up there in case they come back. So it gets a little bit complicated and out of order. And sometimes people do come back, and when they walk in, they say, all right, well, we'll seat you next. So imagine me sitting there for a long time and watching people get skipped and thinking that my name has finally come up and that I'm going to be the next one. And then suddenly some guy walks in the door and the barber's assistant says, I'm sorry, this guy was here before you, and can you wait a little bit longer for the next barber? Now, as you can imagine, I was just a little perturbed because I was fully expecting to get in and out at that moment. And after waiting patiently in the barber shop for so long that somebody else went out and did errands and did all sorts of other things while I sat there, and I still had to wait for the next barber. Now, I like to think of myself as a kind soul, someone who's charitable and someone who's loving and someone who always wants to look out for the next person. But I also have this innate sense of fairness that I take into the world with me. It is as if I'm standing in an orderly line at the BART station, you know, down there at Embarcadero Station. You know, they have these orderly lines to wait there, especially at rush hour. And then somebody cuts in and pushes in front of us. And it's not just me, because they're pushing in front of everybody. Or if I'm in the grocery store and I'm in the checkout line and I have 12 items and I'm in the 15 item, and then I get behind somebody who actually has about 20 items in there. And I just sit there and quietly fume, because I've learned to like keep it to myself. But I still get a little upset. Or even as I'm getting on the Oakland-San Francisco Bay Bridge and trying to, during rush hour, and trying to get into the trans-pass lane, and I've been waiting there in a long line of cars, and then there's all these other cars that are pulling in front of us. It really gripes me. And I don't quite keep quiet there because I've got the windows rolled up and nobody can hear me. So I'm a lot more willing to say things about the car in front of me at those moments. Now I know that it's a character defect in myself. When I'm out in public, I expect people to behave a certain way. And when they don't, I get a little bit angry. Which is kind of silly, because everybody's not going to act the way you act. Want them to. And these days, you know, there was a time when I would yell, and I would actually be openly angry, but now I just quietly fume a little bit. And so I think I can identify with those workers, as many of us can, who show up in the morning and toil all day long, only to find out that they're getting the same wages as those who just showed up on the job at 5 o'clock at the end of the day. How would it be if you were sitting out there all day or working out there all day in the sweltering sun and only to find out that you wouldn't have had to be out there all day for the same amount of wages? Now, I know when I'm doing work looking at Bible verses that I like to think that maybe the people who are listening to this passage aren't exactly the same as we are in the 21st century. That this generous landowner who decides to pay a full day's wages to everyone, they might look at this differently. But no matter how you look at this parable, the fact is that the listeners of Jesus would have totally related to the same to the workers who had been there in the morning the same way we would. This parable is so shocking, which is why it works so well when we listen to it. The landowner turns around the question to the workers. Now, what the Bible translates as, "Are you envious because I'm generous?" also is the original Greek says, "Do you have an evil eye because I am good?" And the landowner is presenting the problem as, "Why do you care what I pay others as long as you yourself are receiving your due?" Because, my sisters and brothers, the people that came in the morning to earn one denarius are still getting a generous wage and still getting their promise due. And it is precisely because this parable would be so shocking to the listeners of Jesus that it drives home the point of the parable. One of the most telling parables that Jesus gave us. Because as you might have already imagined, it's not really about people in a field at all doing agricultural work. The landowner is God. The field workers are the people of God. And the wages are our salvation, our gift of grace, our place in God's kingdom. And so the point of this parable is very simple, that God's grace is equal and available to each and every one of us, no matter where we were when we came to the faith or what we did along the way when we got there. And I know some of us might think, wait, because we all know people who have done things right in their entire lives. They might not be us, but they might be somebody that we know. These people pray regularly, have always prayed regularly. They try not to take more than their fair share of the world's resources. They help the poor when they can. They offer hospitality to strangers when they can. We all know someone like that. Someone who is nothing but kind and caring and full of compassion for their fellow human beings. And when you look at that objectively for a moment, it doesn't really seem that fair that someone who has worked their whole life doing good things and good causes should merit the same grace that someone who has led a life of worshiping different idols, be they money or drugs or sex or false gods, only to find Christ at the end of their life. But here is the key thing to remember. We don't know what's happened with those people in the meantime. We don't know what drove them out there in the life away from God's grace. And if we step back into the parable for a moment, I don't know what happened to those workers in the marketplace. I don't know why they didn't show up. They weren't there until 9, why the manager didn't see them until noon or 5 o'clock. It's easy for us to imagine that they were lazy. Maybe they had drunk the previous night, stayed up all night dancing and carousing. But there's also a whole another round of things that could have taken place. Maybe one of them was actually working that day in someplace else and was sent home and wasn't paid. Maybe one of them had to stay up with a sick child or a sick parent and then went out under dim hope only to find a source of income later in the day. And there's a whole lot of scenarios that I could come up with that would make any one of us here in this parable say, well, yeah, I can imagine why, I can understand why the landowner would have been wanted to be generous with them. And yet if somebody did oversleep from having stayed up all night? Don't we, as the workers who worked the full day's work, have the same, some kind of moral high standing to say, well, I don't think that person really deserves the same amount as me? And yet the generous landowner still says, yes, that person does deserve the same amount of wages. It's up to me to give to them, not you. And by what are you questioning my decision? We have this gift of grace, this amazing gift of grace that our Lord has granted us in his unconditional and remarkable love. As we heard in the story of Jonah earlier, which is quite a bit different from any of the other prophet books, where we have the prophet who is angry and the prophet makes the warnings and nobody listens to the prophet and the city is destroyed. And yet in this case, Jonah warned the city and they repented and God said, okay, I won't destroy you. And the prophet is mad, not the city. The prophet is resentful because God is treating them, these evil people in Nineveh, with the same respect as he would treat people who are good. Because no matter who we are or where we come from, the question always comes up at some point in our lives, whether or not we could have done better, whether or not we could have made better decisions, whether or not we could have given money to somebody that needed it that we chose not to, whether or not we could have shown hospitality to someone and decided that it was inconvenient for us. And because of the great gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, God has bestowed upon us the freedom of life from the rigidness of the law. And because of that grace, we are all of us, sinners that we are. Through God's grace, we are also saints, each and every one of us that deserve a place in his glorious kingdom. And those who walk among us and live those saintly lives, the people I was talking about earlier, that everybody knows one of them, don't pity them for having been good all their lives and not experienced all the depravity that some of us go through. The generosity of spirit that they have and self is a glorious gift that they have been given, that we can all aspire to. The urge to be generous to others is not unnatural to us, but it comes deep within our very soul, the heart of us that knows the truth about God. It is the very doing of the acts of kindness to each other that demonstrate that God is inside of us, the wondrous joys that well up from the depths of our spirit. For God so loves his world, my sisters and brothers, that he has given us his Son, that who believes in him will have life everlasting. And we can thank God for his grace, that his grace is grand enough that belief can be lifelong, or it can come late in life. That his grace is strong enough to overcome the doubt that many of us feel so often, from time to time, that when we do come to the end of our lives, that we can find ourselves in the comfort of our Heavenly Father. And this, my family in Christ, is the good news of God, who has created this beautiful world for us, who sent his Son among us to rescue us from death, sin, and the power of evil, and whose Spirit grants us grace to do his good work on earth, and who promises us comfort and strength to be with him, resting in his loving arms in the kingdom come. Amen.